From you, Father, as we look at the passage, as we look at the notes and the thoughts that we have set aside for this morning, Father, I pray that you would help us to be able to learn from the Bible what it is you want us to learn, to be able to be challenged, Lord, to be able to be exhorted, to be rebuked, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to grow. Father, I ask that we would not leave here this morning the same way that we came. And Father, we love you. Thank you for allowing us to serve you. Thank you for giving us your word. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're there in Matthew chapter 7, and there's so much you could preach out of Matthew chapter 7. Really, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are just full of doctrine. And actually, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 was known as the Sermon on the Mount. And we'll be studying through that on Wednesday nights as we get there. But I want to focus in on one parable that Jesus Christ, God gave in Matthew chapter 7, beginning there at verse number 24, a very well-known parable. Let's read it again. The Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." And I'm sure many of you, if you grew up in church, you know the story of the wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the contrast there is the foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And of course, the man that built his house upon the rock, the storms came and his house stood firm. And the man that built his house upon the sand, the storms came and his house fell. Now I want you to understand, we're going to go through this passage this morning and learn a few things from it, but I want you to understand just a few things by introduction. If you look at verse 4 there, whenever you study a parable in the Scripture, you got to understand, Jesus has given us a story, but those things in that story represent things in our personal life, alright? And if you go there in verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," he says, "I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Now, I want you to understand a few things, okay? When we come to the parable of the wise man versus a foolish man, okay? The first thing you come across is this house. They both built a house. Now, the house, keep your finger there in Matthew 7. Obviously, as a text for this morning, we'll be coming back there. But go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians, if you go further into your New Testament, past the book of Romans, you got 1 and 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And when you get to 2 Corinthians, I want you to keep your finger there, because we're going to go back to Matthew 7 and then we're going to come back to the Corinthians. Okay, so stay, keep your finger there, or a ribbon, or your bulletin, or a bookmark in 2 Corinthians. But I want you to get to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want you to understand, this house in the parable of the wise man that built his house upon the rock versus the foolish man that built his house upon the sand, the house represents your life and my life. Let me show that to you. Are you there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Look at verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house," do you see that? "Of this tabernacle." Now, he's not talking about the physical house you live in that you go home to. I'll prove that to you. But I want you to make note of that word "house" there. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved..." Okay? So he's talking about your life, and he's specifically talking about your body there. He's saying, wait, if your body was dissolved, if your body was destroyed, if your body was dead, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, I know we like to preach, and I'm not against it, and I'm all for it. We like to preach about, you know, the mansions in heaven. But, you know, a thought of the mansion that you're going to get in heaven is actually your glorified body. I'm not saying it is. If you disagree with me with that, that's fine. But I'm telling you that you are going to get a new earthly house. You're going to, a new house for your body. Okay, in heaven, we'll have bodies that no longer are in pain, praise the Lord, that are no longer sick, that are no longer have sin or have the battle of the flesh with it. And he says, "We know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Verse 2, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." He says, look, I wish I was clothed with the house that I'm going to get in heaven. Verse 3, "If so be that being clothed, we shall be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan." He says, I'm in this tabernacle right now. And he says, "We groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that," now notice, "mortality." Do you see that? Yeah.
What does the word mortality have to do with our lives?
Death.
He said that mortality might be swallowed up of, notice this word, life. Do you see that? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, in this house, in this tabernacle, we groan, we're burdened, we're discouraged, we're distressed. He said, but we're going to have a mortality that is, he's like, we're going to die here. This earthly house is going to be dissolved, but we're going to get a life, a better life, an eternal life, a heavenly life. Look at verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing this, whilst we are at home, okay, what? A reference to the house, right? In the body. You see that? We are absent from the Lord. So as long as I'm in this body, I'm absent from the Lord. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Some of you need that verse for the building project. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now here's all I want you to get from that passage. I'm not preaching that passage, but I want you to understand this. The house represents your body or your life. What you're doing upon this earth. Now go back to Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 24, okay? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. This is all introduction. Keep your finger there in Corinthians. Remember I told you to do that? Because we're going to come right back to it. But go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Here's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand the characters of the different things in this parable before we get into the lesson of the parable. The house represents you, your life, your body. Okay? Look at Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house, that's your body, that's your life, that's you. But notice, he built his life upon a rock. Okay? So what's the rock? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's not a wrestler, alright? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 4. Some of you get that, I guess. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. You should be there in 2 Corinthians. Should be fairly easy to find. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And I could show you multiple verses about who the rock is, the real rock. Okay, but let me just show you one here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock. Do you see that? That followed them, and that rock was, what does that say? Christ. Let's read that together. That rock was Christ. Okay, so who's the rock? Jesus Christ. Okay, so we've got a house which represents your life. We got the rock which represents Christ. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Actually, you know what? Go to John real quickly. John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 1. I want you to understand this also. John, okay? We know that the rock is Jesus Christ, right? Okay, but you need to understand what Jesus Christ is, okay? Jesus Christ is obviously our Savior, but it's more than that. John chapter number 1, look at verse number 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. And the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. Do you see that? Okay? So in the beginning was the Word. Now the Word is the Word of God. The Word is the Bible. You understand that? Now it says, in the beginning was the Word. Okay, now I want you to notice this. The Word was with God. Okay? Now notice this. And the Word was God. That's a good verse for those of you that doubt the Trinity. Those of you that have been taught by some that, you know, how could Jesus be the Son and also the Father? Well, how could the Word be with God and be God at the same time? I don't understand that. Neither do I, but that's what the Bible says. Okay? That's your Trinity. The Word was, in the beginning was the Word. Okay? And by the way, that should remind you of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So they were together. And the Word was God. I'm here to tell you something. You may not understand it. You may not believe it. You may think I'm a heretic or whatever. But the Bible teaches that God's Word is not just the words of God. These words are God.
Amen.
You understand that? No, people like the mockers and say, are you one of those people that worships the Bible? Now, if you're asking if we worship the Word, then the answer would be yes. And if you're asking if this is the Word, then the answer is yes. Now, please understand what I'm saying, all right, before you tune me out. I am not saying that this leather is God. I'm not saying that these pages are God. I'm not saying that the ink is God. I am saying that the words are God.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. By the way, that's why you need a perfect Word.
Amen.
You're going to have a perfect God.
Amen.
He says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. By who? By the Word. So the Word is the Creator? Well, of course, the Word is God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Okay, now skip down to verse 14. You can read the rest of the passage if you want to read it in your context. If you don't trust me, that's totally fine. Do that on your own time. Look at verse 14. I just want to show you something, okay? 1 John 1:14. Look what it says. And the Word was made flesh. Do you see that?
Amen.
Let's read that together. And the Word was made flesh. Okay, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and then the Bible tells us the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And who is this? And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Who's the only begotten of the Father? Let me give you a verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You say, well, how can the Son be the Father? Well, the Son is the Word. How can the Word be with God and the Word was God and the Word... Look, I don't understand it either. I just know it's what the Bible teaches. Jesus is the Word. The Word is God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I said all that to say this. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the Word. The rock is the Word. You understand? All that goes together. You say, what's the rock? Jesus Christ. What's the rock? The Word of God. You need to understand that if you're going to understand the parable. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 25. Matthew chapter 7, verse 25. Matthew chapter 7, verse 25. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 25, the Bible says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. What is that? That's a storm. And beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, I don't have time to develop this. You can do this study on your own. But the storms, oftentimes God will use storms in the Bible to represent the trials and struggles and tribulations that we go through in life. It says, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Now look at verse 26, okay? And everyone that heareth, so that's the wise man. Now let's take a look at the foolish man. Verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Okay, what did the foolish man do? He built his house upon the sand. Okay? Now we're going to look at it in Luke, because this parable is also given in Luke. And Luke, it uses the word earth. He built his house upon... The house is what? Your life. Your body. And this guy built his life upon the sand, or upon the earth, like it says in Luke. Now obviously that represents on this world. Look, you're either going to build your life upon the rock of Jesus Christ, or you're going to build your life upon the sands of this earth, but you're not going to do both. You'll either build your life on the principles found in Scripture or on the philosophy of this world.
Amen.
God calls one wise and God calls one foolish. Now look at verse 27. Notice what happened to this man. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Did you get it? We've got the house, which represents your life. We have the rock, which represents Jesus Christ and the Word of God. We have the storms, which represent the trials and struggles of our life. We have the sand and the earth that represents this world and its philosophies. Okay? That was all introduction. That was just me trying to make sure you understood what we're talking about. Okay? The introduction probably longer than the sermon. I don't know. But if you're taking notes, I want to give you three points from this parable. Three things we could learn in regards to this parable. Number one, if you're taking notes, you should take notes. Number one, the wise man built his house upon the rock. Alright? Now here's what you got to understand, okay? We talked about it already. Building your life on the rock is building your life on Jesus Christ. On the Word of God. Now look. I've heard this story my whole life. You know, when I was a kid, we used to sing the song. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Did you ever sing that song when you were a kid? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. How did it go? And the storms came.
What is it? And the rains came tumbling.
Oh, yeah. And the rains came tumbling down. Shows you how much I was paying attention. And the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the rains came down and the floods came up. And the rock and the house on the rock stood firm. And then the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. And then the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand went splat. That's how we sing when I was a kid. Okay? The wise man built his house upon the rock. Now you say, now look, it's easy to say, you know, build your house, build your life on Jesus Christ, and build your life on the Word of God. That's easy. But you know what's wrong with that? It's way too generic. You say, well, I'm going to build my house in Jesus Christ. Okay, what does that mean? Now Jesus explained it. Are you there in Matthew chapter 7? Look at verse 24. Therefore, now notice how he begins the parable. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings. What are they of mine? Do you notice that? Okay? So they're listening, because you got to understand, okay, the context of Matthew. Here's what you got to understand. Jesus has been preaching a sermon entitled The Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. Have all, you think I'm long-winded? Jesus, you know, I preach one chapter a night. Jesus preached three chapters in one sitting. Okay, well, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. And he's been preaching this sermon about the Sermon on the Mount, okay? And this parable is his conclusion. He's concluding the sermon. And here's what he's saying. He said, look, his introduction was the Beatitudes. Blessed is the man that, you know, blessed is this, blessed is that. He preached a sermon. He's concluding with the parable of the wise man. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, you people have been listening to me preach. You people have been listening to, this is Jesus speaking. He said, you've been listening to the rock, to the Word of God in the flesh, preach to you the words of God. But you know, some of you sitting here are wise and some of you are foolish. You want to know what makes you wise or what foolish? Notice what he says. Therefore, he just got done preaching. He just got done giving them three chapters of Scripture. He just got done giving them the Word of God. When people come to Verity Baptist Church, they say, you know what I love about preaching? Is that you get the Word. And praise the Lord for that. I love to hear that, because that's what we try to do. But let me tell you something. Nobody could give you the Word like the Word could give you the Word.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
I mean, Jesus was the Word. I mean, I would have loved to hear the Lord Jesus Christ preach. And he says, therefore, whosoever, now notice what he said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, they went to church and Jesus was preaching. They went and heard the Word, expound upon the Word. They went and heard God preach about God's Word. But notice, he says, you were here and you heard me say, heareth these sayings of mine. But notice what he puts at the end of that phrase. And what's the next two words say? Doeth them. Let's read that together. Let's read that whole up to doeth them. Matthew 7:34. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. So it's not enough to hear the word. You got to hear it, but then you got to do it.
Amen.
You got to hear it, but then you got to apply it. You got to do it. You got to hear it, but then you got to do something with it. Who he heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Look what he says. He said, Jesus is saying, if you're sitting here this morning and you're listening to the word preach and you heard me say some good things, he said, you want to be a wise person? If you go and hear what I said, but then you go and you doeth them. Notice what he says. I will liken him unto a wise man, which built. See, the word built associates with him working, right? Doing something, right?
Yeah.
Which built. Do you understand that you are building your life? Every day you are building your life. You are doing something. You are accomplishing something. Do you believe that God has a will for your life?
Amen.
Do you believe that God has a purpose for your life? Do you believe that God has a plan for you? That God has things He wants you to accomplish with your life, that He's given you to accomplish? And every day you get up and you build that plan. You. The Bible says we labor together with Christ and we're building your house. How do you do it? You hear the word, then you do it. I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Now keep your finger there in Matthew chapter 7. Go with me to Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6. And if I were you, I'd put my bulletin or something. Take it out of Corinthians and put it in Luke. Because we're going to be going back and forth between Matthew 7 and Luke, alright? Matthew 7 and Luke 6. You find the parable of the wise man in Matthew chapter 7, you also find it in Luke chapter 6, okay? And what you can do is compare those two so that you can learn from it, alright? Matthew chapter 7, look at Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6, okay? Luke chapter 6. I want you to see how Luke says it. Luke chapter 6, look at verse 47. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me, that's Jesus, right? And heareth my sayings, and, here's a key word, doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Okay, keep your finger there in Luke, alright? Let's go to James. James chapter 1. Now look, I need you, okay, James chapter 1. We're going to look at something in James, and we're going to come back to James also. So you need to have a finger in Matthew, a finger in Luke, and then a finger in James. Okay, if you need help, ask your neighbor to help you. Alright? Matthew, Luke, James. Okay, but I'm just trying to help you. James chapter 1. Okay? What does the wise man do? He hears the word, but then he doesn't just hear it, he goes home and applies it. He goes home and does something about it.
Amen.
He goes home, he doeth the sayings. Alright? Are you there in James chapter 1? Look at verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. James 1, 22, the Bible says, but be ye, James 1, 22, I want you to see this. But be ye, look what it says, doers of the word, and not hearers only. See, there are people in this auditorium listening to me right now. And maybe you come every Sunday morning, maybe you come Sunday night, maybe you come Wednesday night, maybe you come every once in a while, but you sit here and you hear the word. I mean, you get the preaching. You understand what we're saying. But you walk out of these doors and you do absolutely nothing with it. The problem is not that you didn't get the word. The problem is that you got it, you did nothing with it. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And let me tell you something. You think you're going to come to church and you're going to put up a front and everybody... Look, you know who you're deceiving? Look at the last part of verse 22. Deceiving your own selves. You're not deceiving anybody but yourself. Verse 23. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Jesus here gives the example. He said, you go to church, you listen to preaching, you get the word preached to you, and then you walk out and forget all about it. He said, you are like a guy that looks in a mirror, and as soon as he turns away, forgets what he was looking at. You know, I mean, I think everybody probably here this morning looked in the mirror before they walked out of the house. And those of you that didn't, we can tell. But, I think everybody, don't you do that? You put your clothes on, you look in front of the mirror, you make sure your tie's straight, make sure you don't have anything in your teeth, make sure you look okay, your hair's combed. I'm always making sure my hair's combed. I love this haircut. You just get up and go. But you look in the mirror, but here's the thing, okay, if someone looked in the mirror, and I've used this example before, someone looks in the mirror before they go, and they look at their teeth, and there's a big, just piece of spinach.
You look at it and you think, oh, I gotta take care of that.
And then as soon as you leave the mirror, because you're no longer looking at it, so you just completely forget about it. What would you and I call that person?
Yeah.
Foolish? Nasty? Yeah, that's a good one.
I was looking for foolish.
Would not we call that person not very smart? Not realizing what the purpose of the mirror was? See, the purpose of the mirror is not so you can say in your head, because what did your mom teach you? Look in the mirror before you go out the door. So you think, okay. Some of you think the purpose of looking in a mirror is to look at the mirror so you can say you looked at the mirror. You don't realize that the purpose of the mirror is so you can look at yourself, realize what's wrong with you, and fix it before you go out the door. See, some of you think going to church, the purpose of going to church is you come to church so you can say, I went to church this morning. And you don't realize that the purpose of church is to come to hear the word preached and get the mirror of God's word put on your life so you can see what's wrong with you and then fix it.
Amen.
You think, I come and look at the mirror and then that's it. No, you come and look at the mirror, then you do something about it.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
And that's the difference between a wise man and a foolish man.
Yeah.
Look at James 1:23.
For if any man, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Pastor, I want a blessing from God. Don't be a forgetful hearer. Now, you got to understand this, okay? Look at this word in James 1:25.
Why don't you make note of this?
But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the...
Make note of this word. Work. You see that?
A doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed.
Go back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Look at verse 47. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Luke 6, 47, the Bible says, Luke chapter 6 and verse 47,
whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like.
Now, I like how Luke chapter 6 says it. It says it a little different than Matthew. Notice what he says.
He is like a man which built an house.
But notice what he says.
And digged deep.
How many of you have ever digged a trench or something? You ever dig something? Okay, is it easy to dig? It is hard work. You know what I mean? I mean, you're trying to dig a hole, you're trying to dig a ditch, you're trying to dig something. It is work to dig. I love the Bible says here, he digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. The Bible says he dig deep. Here's what I'm trying to explain to you, okay? It is hard work. Look, it's easy to come to church, sit there, listen to preaching, and then go home. It is hard work to get the word and then apply it to your life. It is hard work. It's like digging a deep ditch. It's like digging deep. It's doing, God calls it in James, doer of the work. He said if you're going to be a hearer and a doer, then you're going to be a worker. Okay? It is hard to apply. Look, I'm not going to lie to you. It's hard to apply the principles found in Scripture. It's not easy. Your flesh doesn't want to do it. Your flesh wants to do that. Has it just came? And please, don't raise your hand. But is there anybody here that has just been, you know, 9 chapters a day? I mean, no problem. Look, it's work. It's work. I mean, even if you love to read, even if you love, you still got to find time to do it. You still got to plan your day to do it. It's not easy to read the Bible. It's not easy to get the word and then apply it. And then do something about it. Not just acknowledge, wow, I got that problem. I got that problem. God called me out on that one this morning. And I mean, I read in the Bible about this and I got that issue. Look, it's identify it, but then do something about it. Apply it to your life. And if you do it, God says you're a wise man. And if you identify it and do nothing about it, then God calls that a foolish man. Okay? Go back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I said, number one, the wise man built his house upon the rock. And we understand that to build your life upon the rock means you hear the word and you apply it. And if you're going to do that, you better just roll up your sleeves and realize that it's not going to be easy. It's going to be work. Okay, number two, the foolish man, on the other hand, built his house upon the sand. Okay? Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Okay, so they heard it. They heard the same message, the same sermon, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. What makes you a wise man is you hear. See, you gotta understand this. Please understand. This doesn't make you wise or foolish, hearing it. What determines, because they both heard it. Do you understand that? What makes you wise or foolish is what you do with it. Once a year at Verity Baptist Church, I preach a sermon, and I'll do it again at some point. It's in my calendar. I preach a sermon about, you know, I'll just give you an example. This is something easy for me to understand. At least once a year, I preach a sermon about what the Bible teaches about your finances. you know, but I'll show you budgeting in the Bible. You say, I didn't know the Bible talks about budgeting. I'll show you how the Bible talks about saving. I'll tell you what the Bible says about debt. I'll explain to you everything the Bible says about it. And look, some of you say, I'm going to go home and apply those things in my life. And some of you say, that was interesting, but I'm not going to worry about it. And what that says is that one of you is wise, one of you is foolish. When you come to church and hear the word preached, you're either wise or you're foolish, depending on what you do when you leave. Okay? Now, you got to understand this. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Do you have your finger there in Luke? Go back to Luke 6. Look at verse 49. I want you to see what it says in Luke 6, 49. Luke 6, 49. And he that heareth and doeth not is like a man, make note of these words, without a foundation, built an house upon the earth. Do you see that? These guys built their house on the sand, on the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. I want you to notice, Luke says, he built a house without a foundation. Now look, if you and I knew a builder who was building a house, and we asked him, how much work was it to put a foundation on that house? And he said, you know what, it was a lot of work. It required a lot of digging. So actually, I decided to skip that. I wasn't that excited about it. I was more excited about the walls and the roof and the carpet and the paint. But the foundation part of that, it was just kind of hard. So I skipped that. Let me ask you, would you buy that house?
No.
But the foundation is not seen. But it's probably the most important part of the house. Without a foundation, build a house upon the earth. Go to Psalm 11. When you build your house on the philosophies of this world, when you build your house, your life, on the principles of this world, you are building your life without a foundation. Do you understand that? Do you know why Pastor Jimenez spanks his children? You know why I don't give timeouts to my kids? I don't, you know, put them in the corner. You say, well, you understand, the teachers, all the people that write the books about child rearing, they say that you shouldn't spank your children. They say that you should give them a timeout and you should communicate with them. And it's just a new way of raising kids. You know why Pastor Jimenez doesn't do that? Because the Bible teaches you how to spank your children. Now, I'm not talking about beating. I'm not talking about physically abusing them. But giving them a good old-fashioned paddle on the rear end when they disobey is exactly what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
But the newfound doctors and philosophies, they say that what you should do is you should communicate with the child. And, you know, let me tell you something. Most people that write books about raising children, right, no, don't have children. Because you know what you find out when you have a child? That you don't know anything. Somebody said this. Before I had a child, I had four philosophies on child rearing. Now I have four children and no philosophies. And that's the truth. You start having kids, you realize, you start having two, three, four kids, you start realizing everyone is different from the other. None of them are the same. People want you to, see, you say, well, why? I think I'm going to, what was the guy's name that wrote the famous book? Dr. Spock. Look, you go ahead and raise your children on the foundation of Dr. Spock, but you're laying it on no foundation at all. You understand that? Our child rearing needs to be on the foundation of the Word of God. What does that mean? The Bible says to do it a certain way, and then you go and you do it that way. You know why Pastor Jimenez leads his family and his marriage? You know why Mrs. Jimenez and Pastor Jimenez just try to follow what the Bible says in the rules of Scripture? Look, I know what I'm going to say is not popular. I know people don't like it. But you know what? There's tons of churches that will give you a lollipop message that just makes you feel good. But the Bible teaches that the man ought to be the spiritual leader.
Amen.
Love his wife, not abuse his wife. Love his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And that the wife ought to submit to her husband and she ought to be obedient. And the only time that she ought to disobey her husband is when her husband asks her to do something that goes against the law of God. Because we know that we ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you, when you follow that philosophy, you have a great marriage. When you follow the philosophies of the Bible, you will succeed in life. But when you read books by this world and try to do what they tell you to do, you're having a marriage with no foundation. You're raising your children with no foundation. Your life's a mess. Why? Because there's no foundation.
Amen.
Are you there in Psalms? Look at Psalm 11. Look at verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? See, people come to this church and they expect Pastor Jimenez to preach one sermon and solve all your problems. If the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? Say, I've got a problem in my life. Look, if your house has a problem, maybe work on the foundation of that house. Hey, well, how do I work on my foundation? Pastor, I've been coming to church. Okay, you've been hearing the word. Well, what have you been doing with it? Have you been applying it? Let me ask you a question. Just answer this question within yourself. You may have been coming to church for 3 years or 3 weeks, but since you've been here, how many things have you learned and then actually went and did? Not much. Well, then the Bible calls you a foolish man. Are you calling me a foolish man? I didn't call you that. Jesus did.
Jesus calls you whatever he wants. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
Go back to Luke chapter 6. We got to finish this up. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Look at verse 47. We said, number one, the wise man built his house upon the rock. We know that building your house upon the rock means you not only hear the word, but you do it. We know that building your house upon the rock is hard work. It's not going to be easy. You got to dig deep to build a foundation. Number two, the foolish man builds his house upon the sand. We know that the sand or the earth represents the philosophies of this world. And when you build upon the philosophy of this world, I'm here to tell you, you're building with no foundation. Are you there in Luke chapter 6? Look at verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who built his house and digged it deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And I want you to make note of this word. When the flood arose... Please understand this. It doesn't say if the flood arose. It says when the flood arose. The question is not if a storm is coming into your life. The question is when the storm comes into your life. You'll never find a scripture in Bible that in the Bible that God says he has promised to keep you from the storms and trials and struggles of this life. In fact, I can show you multiple verses where God promises that he will take you through the storms and the trials and the struggles of this life. It's not if the storm comes, it's when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently upon the house and could not, what's that saying? Shake it. Why couldn't they shake it? For it was founded upon a rock. You got to understand this, okay? The storms of your life are coming. You either are coming out of a storm, going into a storm, or are in a storm. Let me just welcome you to the Christian life. That's the Christian life. Amen. You're either coming out of a storm, you're going into a storm, or you're currently in the storm. That's it. It's not if, but when they come. And when they come, I'm here to tell you, they will try to destroy your house. They will try to destroy your life. Now look what it says. Are you there in Luke chapter 6? Look at verse 48. He is like a man which built his house and dig deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the floods arose, the streams, look what it says, beat vehemently upon the house. You know what the word vehemently means? Characterized by forcefulness or intensity, marked by full of vigor or energy, strong. I mean, this storm was not just kind of, it was just like a little sprinkle. I mean, this storm was pounding upon that house. The floods came. They beat Matthew 7:25. You want to go there real quickly. Matthew 7:25 says, "And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." It's not if the storm comes; it's when it comes. And when it comes, I'm here to tell you, when it comes, it's going to be bad. It's going to beat on your house. It's going to beat vehemently. It's going to try to destroy. You got to understand, the enemy does not want to knock you down. He wants to knock you out. He's not playing. Jesus did not say, you know, Satan had desired to have you that he could slow you down, Peter. He said, Satan had desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, looking who he can, not slow down, but devour, destroy. He wants to destroy your house. They beat upon the house. It beats vehemently upon the house. Now, you got to understand this, okay? Where are you? Are you in Luke or in Matthew? I forget where I had you. Some of you are in Luke, some of you are in Matthew. Good night. Okay. Get to Matthew chapter 7. Let me just see. Some of you are still in Psalms. I mean, good. Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 25. Matthew chapter 7, verse 25. Matthew chapter 7, verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Here's the wise man. It fell not. Why did it fall not? For it was founded upon a rock. Okay? Go to Luke chapter 6, verse 48. Luke chapter 6, verse 48. Okay, remember, you're supposed to be in Matthew and Luke, so you can do it quickly. Luke chapter 6, verse 48. Luke chapter 6, verse 48. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it. Could not shake it. For it was founded upon a rock. You know what the word for means? Because. It says they could not shake the house because the house was founded and had a foundation upon the rock. Okay, go back to Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 26. Matthew chapter 7, verse 26. I'm sorry, verse 27. Matthew chapter 7, verse 26. Keep it bringing it on loop. We're coming right back to it, okay? Matthew chapter 7, verse 27. Look what it says. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Notice what it says. Here's a foolish man, and it fell. His house fell. And great was the fall of it. Go to Luke. Go to Luke chapter 6, verse 49. Luke chapter 6, verse 49. I just want you to see this. Luke chapter 6, verse 49. Luke 6, 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built his house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. Why? And the ruin of it, of that house, was great. Why did it fall? Because it was on the sand, on the earth. Here's what you need to understand.
What was the quote in the bulletin this morning? Circumstances do not make a man. They simply reveal him. See, some of you think that I'm going to go through a storm and God's going to build me through the storm. Look, you better be built before the storm gets there. Because the storms of life do not make you. The storms of life reveal you. When the storms come and you live through them, when the storm comes and you're still here to talk about it, that shows that the foundation has been on the rock. But when the storm comes and you go, that reveals is that your foundation. You say, well, Pastor, I've been going to church. Have you been doing what the Bible says? Pastor, I've been reading the Bible. But have you been changing the things in your life? But I've been hearing all sorts of good works. But the wise man not only hears, he does. Go to Acts. I'm going to show you two passages. We're done. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. If you study the life of the Apostle Paul, you will study a life of a man that comes in and out of storms. Spiritual storms, literal storms. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. Look what it says. Acts 22, verse 22. And now, behold, Acts chapter 20, verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. You know why Paul said he goes bound? Because he's going to be in prison. Look what he says. Not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Because I don't know what's going to happen to me. He said, I'm going into some danger. I'm going into a storm. Verse 23. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. But you know what word bonds means? Imprisonment. Affliction means I'm going through something. I'm going through struggles. I'm getting hurt. Affliction means I'm being hurt. And Paul says, here's Paul's motto for life, that bonds and afflictions abide me. He said, bonds and affliction, they just live with me. They're just always with me. He said, I'm always going through struggles. You know why? Because if you're doing something for Jesus Christ, you're going to go through struggles. I mean, you got to understand this. If things are always easy, you're probably doing something wrong. You understand that? Say, Pastor, I never come headlong with Satan. Maybe you're going in the same direction. You understand that? You only come head to head with Satan if you're butting heads with him. When you're running alongside, you're not going to tackle each other. You understand that? Paul was doing a great work for God, and Paul was constantly going through a storm. Notice what he said in verse 24. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me. Paul, you're going to go to prison. I know. That's not going to move me. Paul, you're going through afflictions. That's not going to move me. Paul, you're going through trials. None of these things move me. Neither count not my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Look, that ought to be your life first and my life first. None of these things move me. I'm going through trials. We all are. None of these things move me. Go to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Remember, I told you we're in two verses. We're done. Psalm 62. Please understand this. Everybody goes through trials. Somebody said to my wife, I don't know if she wanted me to say this. I don't even know if the person that said this is here. If you are, I apologize. Somebody said to my wife, it must be so nice to have your life never have anything bad happen to you. My wife, you know, she was a godly lady, so she smiled.
You're an idiot.
See, sometimes you can look at someone's life and say, oh, they're always okay. See, that doesn't mean that they're not going through a battle. It just means that they're on the wrong.
Well, they never seem to be shaken. That doesn't mean that the storm didn't come. It just means that they got a foundation.
See, last night I got a phone call.
It was really interesting for me because I've made these phone calls. I've never gotten this phone call.
I don't want to go into details about my life or anything, but somebody that my wife and I are very close to, whose life is literally falling apart.
And becoming a reproach to the name of Christ, really. And I got a phone call from an older pastor, and I appreciate it. I really do. He called, he said, I'm calling to see how you're doing. That I can understand how when someone so close to you like that has his lifestyle go this way, I can understand how that could affect you. He said, are you okay? And it was interesting because
as a pastor, I make that phone call every week. How you doing, sister? How you doing? I know, things are hard, things are tough, you're struggling, I'm here for you, I'm praying for you. It's like, I make those phone calls all the time. I've never had somebody make that phone call to me. It was kind of interesting to be on the other side of it. I appreciate it. Praise the Lord for it. Said, how you doing? Said, you okay? Said, you ready to preach tomorrow? I said, you know, I really appreciate you calling. Said, you know, it's hard, it's tough. You know, obviously we don't like the news we hear. But I said, you know, I'm not here to serve a man. I'm here to serve Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Said, you look at people, you think, they're always soul winning. They're always tithing. They're always in church. Look, that doesn't mean their life is not without struggles. But here's the question. Are you founded upon the rock or are you founded upon the sand? Because if your life is on the earth, if your life is on the sand, if your life is on the philosophies of this world, it's going to crumble. Because sand shifts. But you know who never shifts? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
All right, there in Psalm 62, look at verse 6. Psalm 62, verse 6. We're done right here. Psalm 66.
He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved.
Like a tree planted by the water,
I shall not be moved. Is that your goal? Is that your life? Say, I want to be like that, Pastor. I want to be consistent. I want to be someone that's serving God 20 years from now, 30 years from now. I want to see us get into that next building. I want to see us get into the building after that. I want to see us purchase a building. I want to see us reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, if we're going to do that, you're going to have to live your life founded upon this rock. You can hear all the preaching you want. You can read all the Bible you want. If you hear it and do nothing with it, your life is on the sand.
What's your foundation built on? Is it on the Word of God or the philosophies of this world?
When truth of God's Word is revealed to you, how do you respond to it? What do you do with it? Some of you have been reading 9 chapters a day. I promise you, if you've been paying attention, you've learned things in that Bible, and you realize, wow, that's me.
Wow, that's Jesus. Who told Jesus about me? No one told him about you. He's God. What do you do with it? See, some people get mad. They say, the pastor was preaching at me, so I'm not coming back. Brother Jose told me this story. He heard a preacher say this. Because that's what people get mad at. The pastor was preaching at me. And look, I honestly tell you, when I write a sermon, I'm not ever going to preach a sermon directed at one individual. Look, I'm preaching the Bible. If the shoe fits, then wear it. If the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart with it. People say, every time I come to church, I feel so guilty. That's because you are guilty. That's why you feel that way. I'm not directing it at you. Okay? But you know, people get this idea. The pastor's preaching at me. Who else would I be preaching to? I'm not preaching at the chair. I'm not preaching at the wall. I'm preaching at the person sitting in the chair. But when that's revealed to you, say, the pastor's preaching at me. Guilty. What did you think we were doing? But when the truth is revealed, how do you respond to it? Get mad? I'm not coming back. I'm not going to read that Bible. That's for so-and-so, and that's for so-and-so, but not for me. That just makes you a foolish person.
Let me just ask you this question. What will the storms of your life, what will they reveal? Because you know what they reveal is your foundation. And I, for one, want to be founded on the rock. Bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church.
Father, if this church is going to continue to be what it needs to be for this community, for this city, we're going to have people that are founded not on the fact that they like the programs of the church or they like the pastor, but they're founded on the Word of God. That's what we need. There are marriages that need to lay a foundation of the Bible. And if they don't, they may not survive the next storm. There is child rearing going on by parents in this auditorium right now, and if they don't get that Word of God as a foundation on how they're dealing with those kids are going to grow up and go to the world because there was no foundation. Father, there are people here that are going to turn back to the world, they're going to turn back to alcohol, they're going to turn back to drugs, they're going to turn back to the Egypt that had them in bondage if they do not get the foundation of God's Word in their lives. I don't know what else we can do. We preach Bible messages 3 times a week. People have the opportunity to get as much Bible as they want. They have a Bible. They live in the United States of America where they could read 9 chapters a day freely and no one will stop them. It is our choice to hear the words and then apply it to our lives. Help us to make the changes we need to make. Help us to fix the sin problems we need to fix. Help us to be ready when the storms come. Because it's not if they're coming, it's when they're coming. And when they're coming, they're going to be hard. Help us to be founded upon the rock. Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen.